Amen. Thank you. That was great singing there. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 16. Pastor Daniel made a comment this morning. It didn't register in my brain until after the service, but I made the comment after Sunday school. I said, I'm not going to try to cover that kind of ground in my message this morning, because he covered several chapters this morning, and I forgot that I was going to cover about five chapters. praise the Lord, we made it through, and thank you for your patience with me as I went a little long this morning. And someone said, this morning, everybody's like, yeah, every week. this morning I've got hopefully an encouraging thought for you. And this is a unique title, and some of you may be like, what in the world is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to learn about a little more about God, and something I hope that encourages you, that strengthens you, so that in a time of trouble or hardship or whatever it may be, you remember who God is, and you remember this phrase, and I believe that'll be an encouragement to you. But Genesis chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 14 just by way of introduction. And then we're going to cover several different passages throughout Genesis as we think about Lehi Roi. And we see this verse addressed in Genesis 16:14. The Bible says, wherefore the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity that you've given us to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit we had this morning. I thank you for the great attendance. I thank you, Lord, for just meeting with us and speaking to us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us all, especially us men, the grace to be obedient to what we heard this morning, to what I heard this morning. I pray that you would help us to be the examples and leaders of our home that we should be. I pray tonight that you would encourage us from your word as we think about an aspect of who you are, looking at this phrase in your word. I pray, Lord, you'd meet with us now over these next few moments. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm focusing on, as you saw in the title tonight, is Lehi Roi. And you may not know exactly what that means, but what that means is God who liveth and seeth me. And when you understand that about God, and we're going to dive into the meaning of that, we're going to dive into the situations that we see in the Bible that is spoken about, and I believe it's going to encourage you tonight. But as we think about Lehi Roi, the first thing I want to point out, and I don't plan on being long at all tonight, but the first thing is the significance of the phrase. Now remember I said it means God who liveth and seeth me. And there's three aspects to the significance, the meaning of that phrase. And learning the definition, the meaning, the significance of that phrase will make the passages where this is referenced pop as we look at this, because we're going to see three specific passages where Lehi Roi is mentioned and where God is doing these things, and all this applies to that as we look at it. But the first part of the significance, and this is what differentiates Christianity from any other faith in the world today, and that is, remember the first phrase says, God who liveth. So the first part of the significance of this phrase, Lehi Roi, is He is alive. I thank the Lord that our God is alive. There are many religions of today that have gods and have leaders, but they're all dead. They all lived. That they preached their lies and then they died. You can go to most of their graves today and find their bones. But I praise God that my Lord, my God, He died, but yes, praise the Lord, 3 days later He rose again. And He is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is with us here tonight. He is alive. And if He were not alive, this phrase, Lehi Roi, would mean nothing. It would not be a comfort. It would just be a cool word for you to know if you want to show off some things that you knew about the Bible. But this right here can encourage us and strengthen us, letting us know that He is with us because He is alive. And I praise the Lord for that. So we see first, He is alive. It says, the God who liveth. And it says, the God who liveth and seeth me. So He is alive, but also He is aware of what we're going through. He knows what you're going through.
He sees you in what you're going through. If you're having a hard time right now, God sees you. If whatever you're going through in your life, He sees you in that situation. He knows what you're going through. A lot of people think that God doesn't know how hard they have it. He knows exactly how hard you have it. He sees you in that situation. So we see here that He is the God who liveth and seeth me, but if all He was the God who sees it but doesn't do anything about it, that'd be kind of sad sometimes. But not only is He aware, but He gives alleviation in that, if we'll let Him. He gives peace. And we're going to look at that in just a few moments in every passage that we see here. But alleviation, He gives that rest, that relief through peace. God wants to give us, as children of God, peace in every situation that we're in. Some people think that the only time you can have peace as a child of God is when things are going good, when there's nothing wrong in your life, when you're on the mountain and you're praising the Lord and you think that's when I can have peace. No. See, the child of God can and should have peace when things are at their worst. When maybe you've lost your job or you've lost a loved one, did you know that you can have peace? The Bible calls it the peace that surpasseth all understanding in the midst of that situation. So not only is He aware of what you're going through, but He gives alleviation through peace and also through giving power, through giving enablement. He enables us to continue on, to fulfill His work even in the midst of what we're going through. So that phrase, Lahai Roach, God who liveth and seeth me, in the significance. He is alive. He is aware. And He gives alleviation. So we see the significance. Now, number two, I want to look at the situations we have in the Bible. Now, as we know, our Lord, praise God, is with us all the time. The Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But there are three situations that we see in the Word of God here tonight that the Lord wanted us to know that He sees us, He's with us, and He wants to comfort us in that. And let's go first to Genesis 16, where we started here. Genesis 16. We see first the first situation we see in the Word of God where He is referenced as Lahai Roi is in Genesis 16, where we read about initially. And we see here, this is a passage with Hagar, and we're going to read the entire passage. It's only 16 verses. But the Bible says, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." So we see here, Hagar is despised by her boss, Miss Sarai, and she is kicked out of the home, and nobody wants anything to do with Hagar. And Hagar basically did what she was told. We see her, she's in a tough spot, and now she is fleeing. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called, and this is what we read earlier, Beer Lahai Roi, Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. That means the well of the God that who liveth and seeth me. So we have here Hagar, who's in a tough spot on the run from Sarai, and nobody wants anything to do with her. The world hates her. She was ready probably just to end her life and die, but the Lord saw her in that situation. The first time in the Bible, the world probably had no idea who Hagar was, but God did. God knew she was going through a hard time. God saw her in her pain. And we see here that God sees us in our storms of life. The first time this is mentioned is not by an Abraham or an Isaac or a Jacob, but it is mentioned by a Hagar. God wanted all of us to know from the very beginning that God sees all of His children, big or small, pastor to the janitor. He sees them in every situation there. He sees you. If you're in a storm of life, God sees you. And that's why Hagar said that here. Because she realized God saw her in that. And it goes on and says, Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. And a good example of this in the New Testament, if you'd like to go with me to Mark chapter 6. Great example of our Lord seeing us in the storms that we are in. Mark 6, verse 45. Mark 6, verse 45. Very familiar passage. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So he sent his disciples on. He was staying behind. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So there on the sea, he's in a mountain. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he, notice this, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. So we see here, they're in a storm. They thought the Lord was nowhere to be found, but he saw them in their storm. They may not have known that his presence was there. Sometimes in our life as Christians, we may not experience the manifest presence of God, but know he's there. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He saw these men, and he saw them in their struggle. And as we talk about the significance of this term, he's alive, he's aware, and he will bring peace. Look what happens here in the passage. It says, verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the load, for their heart was hardened. So we see here in the Old Testament, we see Lehi Roi, God saw Hagar in her pain, in her storm. And in the New Testament here, he saw his disciples in their storm. And he will see you and me. He sees us in our storms as well. So as we see here, the situations that our Lord sees us in and will give us peace and power in, first is in our storms. But also, go with me now to Genesis 24, in our seeking. I'm going to get them pages peeled off. Genesis 24, verses 62 through 67. I will save some time here and not read the entire chapter. But as we see here, what happens here, Isaac, we see here, Abraham wants to find a wife for Isaac. He sends his servant back to his home, his homeland, where his family is. And the servant goes, and he prays a prayer, and it's literally before the words are done leaving his lips, the Lord sends Rebekah, and all that happens, and the servant, Rebekah takes the servant back to her brother Laban's house, and the account continues to where Rebekah is coming back, servant. So the and all that Abraham sent are coming back to Isaac. And look where we see Isaac in chapter 24, verses 62 through 67. And Isaac came from the way, listen to this, of the well, Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And the camels were bringing his bride. So we see Isaac here. What I said here, he sees us in our seeking. So there may be somebody here today that is wanting a mate, or is wanting a job, or wanting this and that, and you're taking up all your time pursuing that. Stop pursuing that and start pursuing God. And God sees you in your seeking. And we see here in his meditation, Isaac got what he was looking for, what he wanted, what was going to bring him comfort. The Bible will see here says after his mother's death. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about me and my wife, my beautiful wife, who's at home taking care of little Onyx and Ruby right now, and everybody's doing great, and we praise the Lord for that. But I remember back in my younger days, I thought I wanted to get married. I wanted a wife, so man, I was hot on the chase trying to find that one God had for me, and they just didn't work out. And I finally just threw up my hand and said, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done searching. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to serve you. And so I turned my focus from trying to find a wife to seeking the Lord. And little did you know it, and I'm not saying I did it perfectly, but little did you know, as I turned my focus from that to the Lord, one Wednesday night, a shy, quiet young lady showed up at church. And God sees us in our seeking. Stop focusing on other things and focus on God. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Focus on God and not those things. He sees you in that. And he wants to do something about it. Remember, Lahai-Roi, he's alive, he's aware, and he will bring alleviation. He will bring comfort. He will bring peace. He will give power. So we see here, and it continues on there. And look what it says. It says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And listen to this. Remember what I said. Lahai-Roi, the God who liveth and seeth me. He is aware and he brings alleviation. Look what it says. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. God knew what he wanted, knew what he needed. He was focusing on God. God saw him in that, and God worked in that. So we see here the situations that he wants to be Lahai-Roi to us is the storms, in our seeking, and finally, in our sadness. Go with me to chapter 25, just maybe another page over for you. In verses 7 through 11, we see the Bible says there, and these are the days, so Abram's life is ending, and these are the days of the years of Abram's life, which he lived, and 115 years, so 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abram buried and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abram that God blessed his son Isaac. And look where Isaac dwelt. And Isaac dwelt by the well, Lahai-Roi. God saw him in his sadness. His dad had just died. I mean, he lived a good long life, but his dad is dead. I can't imagine the sadness that Isaac was feeling. And I'm sure everyone in here has lost a loved one before. And we need to be encouraged and strengthened that our God that is alive sees us in that and wants to bring peace and comfort in that situation. Lahai-Roi, he's alive. He sees us. He knows what you're going through. And he wants to bring peace to that situation. So those are the three situations in the Word of God, in our storms, in our seeking, and in our sadness. That he is our Lahai-Roi. So we see the significance, we see the situations, and finally number three, and I'll be done. I'm moving right along. I felt bad about this morning, so I figured I'd scoot through it tonight. But we see number three, the seeing. What I mean by that, how can we see Him as that in those situations? Because that's the only way that that comfort will be realized and appropriated, is if we realize that our God is there, that our God wants to bring comfort, that our God wants to give peace, He wants to give power. How can we realize that? Three things, and very quickly, and then I'll be done. First thing is through staying pure. We got to stay clean. You can't be sensitive to the presence of God and the truth of God and the things of God if you've got sin in your life that doesn't need to be there. That's why it's paramount that we stay clean before God so that we can remain sensitive. If we have sin in our life and then we begin to go through a storm or we begin to go through sadness, we're not going to see God in that. But that so we've got to stay pure so that we can have clean eyes to see God. You see, that's what God wants. He wants us to get in a terrible situation and say, God, what are you trying to teach me here? What are you trying to show me here? Help me to learn more of you here. But you can't do that if you're not pure. We've got to stay clean. That's why, as I've said before, many preachers say, we've got to keep our sin list short. As soon as it pops up, confess it, forsake it immediately. So we've got to stay pure. So, staying pure, but also staying pondering. What I mean by that is the Bible. We've got to stay in the Word. We've got to keep our mind on Him. You want to think of Him in those situations, mind on the Word. You're not going to think of God in a time of a storm or in a time of sadness, and you're not going to be seeking Him if you're not in His Word. We've got to be in the Word. If our mind, if we are clean and our mind's on Him, we get in the troubles of our lives. We'll see Him in those things. We'll see His working. We'll see what He's doing. Or we'll at least know that it's Him doing it, and we'll trust Him through it. So we do it through staying pure, staying pondering, and finally staying praying. Pray without ceasing, like I said this morning. You get in that hard time, if you're clean, say, Lord, you are my Lehi Roi. I know you see me. Bring that comfort that you promise. Give me that peace that you promise. Give me the power to get through it, to serve you in it. See, when you do those things, stay pure, pondering, and praying, our minds and hearts will be on Him, and we will realize, we will appropriate, we will reckon that He is our Lehi Roi. He wants to be in our storms, in our seeking, and in our sadness. I praise the Lord that that's our God. That's not just a cool word that we have in the Bible, but that is who God is. He is the God who liveth and seeth me and seeth you. May the Lord help us to hide that in our hearts so that when we get in those times, we will recognize Him as that. And then, like the Bible promises, the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With Miss Anna coming to the piano, I know that was quick, fast, and in a hurry, and that is rare. But I just wanted to give you that simple thought on that simple phrase. And I rarely ever do that. But that phrase, as I was reading and studying several weeks ago, actually, just jumped off the page at me. And then as I continued through Genesis, it just popped up those three times. It's not an accident that that's where they were at. And that was the word was used. God wanted us to know that He is that to us. He's Lehi Roi to us in our storms, in our seeking, and in our sadness. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as she begins to play, maybe you just want to come to this altar and say, thank you, Lord, for being that for me. Or maybe you want to come and say, Lord, help me to stay pure, to stay pondering, to stay praying, so that when I get in that situation, I will see you as what you and who you are, our Lehi Roi. people are praying. The altar's still open. Up this way. Hope that was an encouragement to you.